All right.
Hello. This is Emily Running. I am the founder and director of DanceWire, and I'm here with Jesus Rodales Avila. It is Thursday, November 29th, 2018, and we are here to talk about his life and career in dance as part of the DanceWire Ambassador Artist Stories series. So, welcome, Jesus.
Thank you.
To get started, can you give me an overview of all of your current titles?
I am the Portland Chapter Director for Everybody Dance Now. I am the co-founder of Find A Way, which is a street dance organization focused for Portland currently. I am a it's more like a collective member of Northwest Rain, which is a dance collective that started out in Hillsborough. I am also I'm also the Portland chapter director, Portland chapter program manager for Digs Deeper, which is a production that provides a platform for artists to fully self-express. I'm also a dance teacher at Element Dance Studio in Hillsborough. Currently, I'm also a teacher at Dance Vision out in Oregon City. I'm also a teacher at Steps PDX and Vitalidad Movement Art Center, aka VMAC for short. I teach kids at their programming, and I also teach their adult hip-hop programming. And, well, yeah, I think that's about it. Yeah.
And because I know this, tell me how old you are, if you don't mind mentioning it.
I'm 23.
Right.
I am 23.
It's a lot of titles to have for a 23-year-old, right? Maybe?
Okay, so if you compare it to other 23-year-olds, yes, it is a lot of titles. But for me, it seems like it's not, because this is kind of like my journey, and I'm realizing that the comparison of other people's journeys may either overwhelm you or like make you feel like you're better. But I feel like just kind of where I'm at for 23 is good for me.
Yeah.
Just because I learn differently too.
Mm-hmm. Cool. So when did you start dancing, and can you give me a brief overview of your dance history?
So I'm Hispanic. So, like, music and dancing has been a part of my life as long as I can remember. I was always really bad at, like, Hispanic dancing, like, bachata, cumbia, like, I was just really bad at it. So a lot of it, like, made me never want to do it. But I can specifically remember a movie by the name of, like, You Got Served. They had, like, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I do.
So I went into the theater, saw the movie, I came out. And when I came out, I was, like, trying to dance and do what I saw. Excuse me. And that was like, that was one of the moments where I like, I want to do that thing. And it really kind of like changed the way I see dance. So that was like elementary school. And then it wasn't until like middle school where I learned what popping was, or like who Mr. Wheels was. And then in high school, I really started to dive into the dance, and I was like, took it more seriously. When I was a sophomore, I started taking dance classes at a studio and started to do the studio stuff and learn what that was. And then I became, right around the same time, I became a part of the overall Portland street dance community.
Mm-hmm.
And that was pivotal for me because I met really life-changing teachers at that time. And I just started like with freestyle, and choreography was something that never came into mind till I was a sophomore, right? Because routines and performances and whatnot. But I was always a freestyle head, and mm-hmm. still am today. But freestyle isn't what defines me. It's just what moves me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, that leads really well into the next question, which is, what does dance mean to you, or has meant to you in your life?
So dance currently, what it means to me, it's kind of interesting. It's no longer like a separate entity. It's one and the same. Like, me is dance and dance is I. It's kind of funny to think about. I live my life the way I live my dance. So like I was saying about freestyle, like freestyle is like living in the moment and like being able to adapt with what you're given and working with the tools that you have. So that's just kind of how I decided to live my life, was currently accepting the moments that I have in front of me and not be worried about what's coming next or what's after me. It was literally, what do I have and how can we use what we have? I had a conversation with a really good friend yesterday. I just remembered another title. I'm also a Portland Rip City crew member. But anyways, so we were performing yesterday, and he's like, he turned over and asked me, we were like watching the game before our performance, and he asked me, he said, hey, do you ever stop and think about why you keep dancing? Mm-hmm. And I thought about it, and I was like, no, I just really love this. I just want to do it. And I'm just telling
you, there's no need to think about it.
No. It's yeah. Just like, duh, you love it, keep doing it.
Right. Yeah.
He asked me, and then I told him in the conversation, I was like, no, I want to do this as long as I can. And he's like, yeah, me too. And then I was like, yeah, I want to be able to be like 70 and still do it. I have idols that I look up to who are there in their 50s and 60s, and they're like still doing the street dance thing, and I'm like, I'm gonna do that. And they do it at high levels too, besides the fact that they have a title and they're originators and whatnot. Like, they're actually just really still really good at their craft.
Yeah.
And I want to be able to create that type of lane for myself.
Mm-hmm. Cool. So what type of challenges have you faced in your pursuit of dance?
Like, dancer Jesus, he faces the challenges of like being underestimated, okay, and like being looked at and being like, oh, he doesn't look like he's a dancer. And then I dance, and then people are like, hey, I did not expect you to be that good. So that's like a obstacle that I face as a person dancer.
So kind of a surface impression. If somebody walked up to you on the street and you said, oh, I'm a dancer, they would question that or be surprised by that or something? Is that what you're saying?
It's more like other dancers. Other dancers have that impression, or like, it's mainly other dancers. When I tell normal people, they're like, oh my God, yay, do a trick. And I'm like, okay, all right.
And so what is the response specifically from other dancers?
They're just, they were surprised or they were shocked. They didn't expect that from me or things like that. And I'm like, that's cool. And it bugs me at first, but then I'm like, no, this is something I can use as an advantage in my life, where it's like, if people underestimate me and if I am able to, what's the word I'm looking for here? If I'm able to underpromise and overdeliver, that's just a tool that I can use.
Yeah, I'm just curious because I think that a lot of dancers have imposter syndrome or have this comparison, have a comparison thing going on, like, oh, well, I'm not as good as that person or whatever. And so I'm just curious about what is internal and what is external about that experience of being underestimated.
Definitely feeling like I do have like idols of people that I look up to that I hold up as standards. Mm-hmm. They're not my principle, like what I like really live by my life, but they're standards of like where I want to be to.
Mm-hmm.
So when I look to their level and I'm not at their level, I'm like, all right, I'm not that good yet. So when I get complimented and people are like, oh my God, you're amazing, I'm like, thank you. And then I almost want to kind of like do that thing where you like say thank you, but you revert the comment because you want to, you know that this is your standard and you're not there. So that's something that I typically want to do. I never feel like I'm an imposter necessarily, but I definitely, when I go out to like other scenes in like Florida or Vegas or whatever, when I go out there, I'm like definitely kind of like shook a little bit, because I feel like I have to create this first impression of myself and like my dancing. In street dance, like, skill level speaks for itself.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can be a very nice person, but if your skill level will always speak for itself. So that's where I feel like sometimes when I go out of town, I feel like I have to do more than I really want to feel like I have to set a good impression, where it's just like, I'm coming to the place where I'm learning to calm down and not feel like I have to like throw everything out to like make a good impression, like where I could just like
or prove anything. Is it about
when I go visit other scenes, I feel like I have to prove myself.
Yeah.
Because that's traveling is also something that's really important to me. But now I don't feel like I still do actually personally. I still feel like I have to prove myself, especially when I know that people kind of look at me and they're like, he doesn't look like he's very like skilled. So I feel like I have to like extra show out. When it comes to the city here, like, it definitely happened at first where I was like underestimated. Like, you look like, I didn't expect you to be that good. But now that like, I've been in the scene for 6 years, it's, that like that thing is no longer present. Mm-hmm. It's more about, because we know each other so well, we know where, because we know each other well enough now, we're like, all right, dope. Who's leveling up now? Like, we're trying to help each mm-hmm. other out. Did I get to your question?
Yeah. I was just going to ask if there was any other challenges that you wanted to mention.
Yeah. As a dancer, producer, I don't know what title for that. Someone who helps put on like events. Mm-hmm. I realize that there is a lot of funding in the city when it comes to like nonprofits and whatnot. But I'm also finding out that by comparison, in Europe and Asia, they're able to have really big productions for street dance events. And not just like, because we do have really high talent studios here when it comes for ballet or contemporary. Like, we do have like really big institutions. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to specifically from my experience, street dance, it's hard to actually get good backing from mm-hmm. the city or from other organizations, because we're kind of looked at like kids, and like we're just kind of doing these things, and mm-hmm. they don't feel like there's sustainability in it. But if you go mm-hmm. like to Europe or in Asia, they have like stadiums full of people watching one guy dance. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, it's possible here, but I just have had a problem, not a problem, had a challenge of finding actual support.
Yeah.
Without being like, it is like, without like a finger to the chin thinking about it, with scratching your head, like, I don't know if this is something like that's worth it, because like, I feel like the time that we put into it definitely makes mm-hmm. it worth it. But that's not just in Portland, but from my experience, it's happened.
Sure. And I think from my perspective, that is most styles of dance.
Yeah.
So I don't think that it would, it definitely includes street styles, but it's an interesting perspective, or it's an interesting thought, kind of what you say about, oh, they're just kids, or they're just playing, or it's, mm-hmm. It's something, whereas the ballet world is more formal, but yeah, I'm just thinking through, you know, yeah, thinking yeah. a lot about how the different narrative plays out in different ways. Yeah.
And it, a lot of it has to do too with like the culture that we pull from, like, and this is kind of like a short little tangent, but also coming back to the mm-hmm. point where, we're kind of looked at as like wild and rowdy mm-hmm. because, I realized that a lot of people don't take the time to really understand me as a person and where I'm pulling my influences from.
Sure.
And I know that's everywhere, but I'm specifically yeah. talking about my experience, which is like, because I come from, of course I am Mexican, so I come from my Mexican heritage, but I'm also pulling from the hip hop culture, which mm-hmm. is what I really indulged myself in, and involved myself with. Because I pull from that, I speak a certain type of way sometimes, or I do certain things, and to the average person, they see that as like improper and not appropriate, where those are kind of things that are formal in our communities, in our culture. Sure. So when it comes to like bigger suits and ties, that's why we're looked at as kids, because
okay.
we don't sure. have the sharp edged look and
yeah.
super formal language. Like, a lot of us could do that, but we just choose to speak the way we do because yeah. that's us.
See who you are?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But that kind of comes back into the whole thing of like being looked at as kids. Like,
yeah, yeah.
No, never mind, I did say it.
Yeah, no, I get it. That's So, what resources, people, or opportunities have helped you the most?
Don Flores. That man has incredibly changed the trajectory of my dance.
And who is that?
Don Flores is the co-owner of Element Dance Studio. Mm-hmm. But he's also the one who created Northwest Rain, the collective I'm a part of.
Okay.
Wow. Excuse me. he not only has he's the first person who ever invited me to like a class, like a dance class.
Okay.
And then he is also the first person who like really pushed me to do the freestyle stuff and the studio choreography side.
Okay.
And like understood that I loved both and didn't mm-hmm. force me to do one. He's like, cool, okay. I see that you like both of these things, let's do both. And sure. He provided opportunities to do both. He's one of the first people that got me in the door teaching. He's mm-hmm. the one who taught me about the studio, competitions world. He also taught me a lot about like dance etiquette and being a teacher and what it means to like work at multiple spaces, how to approach people, understanding your rate, like really awesome. The professional side of things.
Mm-hmm.
I just like a lot of my dance, if I could like every time I did a set and I could point at him to let people know yeah. that's how much he helped me, like I would. Yeah. Which I could, but it just would be weird after every set. People are like, why?
Right.
But anyways, and then there's like people like Pop and Todd, who I feel are world-class dancers who mm-hmm. lived here in Portland for years. And because the scene was still developing and he never really got the recognition here that he deserved, but he helped shape the Portland street dance community, especially shaped me as a dancer and taught me techniques and like understanding popping when it comes to a different methodology outside mm-hmm. of the electric boogaloo way of thinking. But he taught me both. It was great. I still do privates with him when he shows mm-hmm. when he comes to Portland. I'm thinking of other people, but those two people have definitely change the trajectory.
Mm-hmm.
The Floridians are dancers from Florida, but it's not necessarily what they've done to me, but it's what I've seen them be capable of doing.
Mm-hmm.
So that changed my mindset of like as a event producer, like, oh, we can do this and that, or hey, we can take dance to this level.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we actually can go to Europe, because Hans, his name is Hans Bier. He's like I wouldn't say director, but he is definitely one of the leaders for Floridians, and
mm-hmm.
he's come to the city. He's actually the one who spins our event now.
Mm-hmm.
He super humble guy, achieving so many high level things.
Yeah,
and that's like a standard for me now.
Yeah,
like to genuinely be humble and not be. Oh my gosh, no, it was okay. But like really just be like, hey, thank you, and not have to like do anything extra. And then still accomplish like things that are pretty high level.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how to also put it. So
sure.
The Floridians and also Hans in that aspect. Allison Franco, she's from Portland. She's originally from Eugene, I believe. But she is also someone who changed my life as a dancer because she was always supporting me verbally and like making sure that I'm coming out to this. She's teaching me about that. Not as much to the level as Dawn, but she definitely has been someone who's been there
mm-hmm.
and been on like my side since day one. Like yeah. as soon as she met me, she was like rooting for me. So
yeah.
I gotta give a shout out to Allison Franco. Alfred Trinidad is my roommate, my best friend. He has been like my dance buddy, and then like we danced together for a really long time, and then he stopped dancing, and then because I kept dancing, he came back to dance, and having him has been allowed me to have someone that I can connect with
mm-hmm.
on like personal issues as well.
Sure.
So he's created a platform for me to actually be keep my sanity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome. So mostly it's like a lot of people in your life that you can call upon and reach out to and kind of look to for mentorship and support and everything.
Yeah, and I definitely do believe like like, athletes have coaches, right?
Yeah.
So I am a firm believer in, like, why don't we have coaches and mentors?
Mentors.
So I'm a big believer in
and
as a mentor.
But teachers play that role, don't they? If you're, I suppose, if you're in formal training lessons. What about in the freestyle community? If who would play that role?
So it's funny that you say that. I like that you said formal because it made me directly think of like a formal institution with a like
sure.
a label and whatnot. But I also just realized that, like, wait a minute, our training is formal in a different fashion, but that's a tangent.
Sure.
But no, it's funny because Don Flores is my teacher.
Sure.
My first person that I ever took a class from was was Lauren Flores.
Mm-hmm.
And when I took that class, I was super humbled in the essence of, like, I don't know a lot and I need to sit down, because right before then I was like, I want to teach, I want to fly, I want to be like Pac-Man and Philip
sure.
Chabib and blah, blah, blah. So that really humbled me. And then when I started taking class, Don was my teacher. He was
mm-hmm.
the one instructing my classes, which I feel like there's a big difference between your teacher and your mentor. If
mm-hmm.
your teacher can play that mentor role,
sure.
but you do have instructors who come in and teach
you
the combo.
Skills. Yeah.
And, like, we'll teach you, like you said, skills, but never teach you beyond that, right? Because there is, like,
totally.
Amazing teachers who can do both in one setting.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's other teachers who are not as capable.
Sure. And I think, it brings up the point that skill and professionalism and all the other things that go with it are two very different categories, right?
Yes.
Skill is just one tiny part of actually being a dancer.
Yeah, and, like, kind of tying that into what does it look like in the street style world, I personally see, like, Todd as, like, kind of a mentor, even though I don't speak to him very often, but because I know that's someone I can always rely on and I can always go and speak to if I need assistance.
Mm-hmm.
He's not someone who's
sure.
super present, but in the street dance community, I feel like you choose your mentors according to who's available, and then also who you're willing to put yourself around.
Sure, sure. What stage do you feel like you're at in your career? You kind of answered this question. You want to be dancing till you're 70 and 80 and however long. What, I don't know. Do you have any comment on what stage you feel like you're at?
Yeah, it's funny because you said, I want to be in a cane and still be able to dance. Like, that's how much I just love it.
Right.
But currently, I feel like, I don't know what's, well, I guess I'm going to answer this, like, in a loophole.
Sure.
Because I don't know how to directly answer this. Wow, I'm really pulling a Don right now. Anyways, men really impacted me. So I currently feel that I am in a place where I am helping my community by not only producing an event, because the event is great and amazing, but it only does so much for the community because it's such a one-time thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like by bringing teachers to come to act, who have the knowledge and who are, like, who've been there from the beginning, to come and teach in the city and, like, really have workshops, in-depth workshops that can display not only past skill, but also past, like, ways of thinking. Because outside of, like, having technique, there's also concepts and, like,
right.
textures that you need to practice outside of technique, because then because those concepts and textures will change your artistry and in the way you approach the techniques.
Mm-hmm.
But so I feel like I'm wanting to bring out, and I am doing it. I don't know why I said it like that. To come and actually teach the people who are wanting to learn. Because from my experience, Portland currently is not in, like, a place where taking class is something that's you want to go do. Because either we're all really not having big bank accounts, or because that's just not what we were taught.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel that even though sometimes it is a struggle to, like, have a workshop and two people show out, to me, that's still worth it.
Sure.
I also, like, as a producer, that's just kind of where I'm at. And because I believe in the city, because we have so many amazing dancers here, we just are not on the map necessarily yet. And I feel like I'm trying to help do that, whatever way I can. But as an artist, I'm realizing that I'm looking for what do I want to say, and how, and letting my life kind of be transparent with my dance without feeling like I have to hide certain areas of it. And then doing that, and then actually doing all the like concepts and concept videos or whatever project I want to do, actually doing those now, because I've been in such a poor mindset, in the essence where I'm like, oh, I don't have enough money, or I can't do that, I can't do this, and I'm personally doing a lot of like taking inventory of self and like knowing how to transition that out of it, to be like, oh, I only have this much, but I want to do this. How can I still achieve this? I want to do a workshop on like teaching other people in the city how to throw like a dance battle, aka a jam, because I feel like there's only so many people who know, and if we can pass that information to everybody, and people who are willing to go and do those things now have the power to, then the city's gonna elevate. But then there's like a scarcity mindset thing where it's like, oh, if I'm the only one who knows how to do this, then I'm like the top dog. So I don't need the scarcity mindset. I just want to pass that out to people. But yeah, just like, as an artist, changing my mindset to be able to really impact as an artist, I think is what it really boils down to.
How would you describe the current dance scene in Portland? You kind of started getting into it, but just how would you describe what's going on here? You mentioned it's not there yet.
It's not on the map yet. Yeah.
It's not on the map yet.
Yeah. And I mean, in the essence where like, yo, we have some really nice people. Like, and I mean nice in the sense where dope, in the essence of like, really talented. And it's crazy because I think because we're here in this place, I think it's going to be possible in like, like pretty in the next like, I don't know how many years, because there's so many people moving here and there's so many companies coming here. That's bringing more attention to the city. And then also with like bands that are blowing up out of here, I think it's like the last Artful Darker or something like that. They just had like, just won a Grammy, and then Amine, who's like a rapper, is blowing up and he's repping 503. Like things like that is bringing attention here. So if we're, if we continue to develop ourselves as dancers and travel to these other cities and mention where we're from, people are going to pay attention to here. And then that's going to make, that's going to want to make high level teachers want to come. And that's going to create a shift. Yes.
Describe that shift.
It's going to create
What will be the end of that shift? What will be the, or the, what will come out of, what will be the outcome of that shift?
So ideally for me, if we can create that shift, that just means that Portland has now a foot in the door with all the other major cities who have things happening, like other major cities like Houston, not New York. New York's is a very special place. I think it takes a different vibe for that. But like Houston, Florida, Vegas, LA, like if we can craft enough attention on the level that LA does, but in a different way, where it's more out of integrity and more honesty, I feel like we're going to capture a different type of dancers who want more than just the clout. Who want more than just like the job, right? So with that being kind of said, that's also going to create more jobs here in the city, because of all the businesses that are coming, they hire people from LA to do promotional work, and they hire people from New York and Houston and Vegas. But if they're like they're hiring because they don't know it's here yet. So if we can create enough attention and make some noise, big businesses are going to turn around and be like, whoa, we have this here. We can save on capital if we just hire these guys, because we don't have to fly them out. So I think that the shift is going to create more attention for us as a community, And then also a shift as in creating more jobs, because if there's more sustainability here, people mm-hmm. don't feel like they have to leave.
Mm-hmm. So you're kind of doing this, but paint an idealistic picture of dance in 10 years in Portland. What does it look like?
There's enough work happening here where it's distributed amongst the three people who, and I'm not saying there's three people, I'm just saying that, like, typically what happens is you get booked for a gig based off of who you know, and there's like a few people who are like the top of the chain who kind of distribute that out for people because you're in their circle, not based on your skill level. So I feel like there's going to be enough work and enough people making noise that there's going to be sustainability across the board for dancers in every dance style. But creating, like, people want to pull from dancers from Portland instead of always the LA and whatever. Because a lot of dancers from here leave to LA because they're trying to get work. Right. But if there's enough eyes in Portland where they're pulling from Portland, that's mm-hmm. going to change a shift. That's going to create a different dynamic, because Portland has such a different vibe than LA and any other city, where it's like you can feel relaxed and not feel like you have to compete, but you can also be competitive if you want to.
Sure.
Because there's room for that, because competition it allows for growth, but it's not so competitive where you're no longer having fun with it. You know what I'm saying? And I feel like an ideal way of looking at dance is like, dancers are open to learning of other people's dance mm-hmm. outside of their own there's a word for this, but I can't think of it. It's like when you think you know, it's like assumptions of other dance styles. So like when I was kind of touching on like the street style community, kind of like not being known as like in my experience, like, I've been looked at weird for being like talking like, oh, what's up, dog, and yo, and whatnot. So like people from like more of a formal may be open to that and be like, cool, that's just how they are. And that, and like understanding like, oh, this is this and this is that, because I know inside of the world of like different dance styles, it's like a tree, right? It goes from the top and then it kind of spreads out, and then there's other things inside of that. I feel like I will, in an idealistic dance, I can be able to say those things about X community and X community and not have to be I would like to see other dance styles be practitioners in other communities. Mm-hmm. That's what I would like to see, yeah. Idealistically.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Long-runned answer for just that. Because if people were more practitioners in other communities, we would be more accepting and more understanding, because yeah. It's not coming from a book, it's coming from, oh, I lived it and I know how it is. And I think being a practitioner is super important when you want to do anything inside of any community.
What other style would you
become a practitioner? I'll do contemporary. I would do a tap, because rhythms are amazing.
Yeah.
What else would I do? I would do more like Afro styles, like dance hall. I would do... Those are the only ones that kind of come into my head. But I like... like the contemporary and the modern world is like incredible. And a lot of like... From what I've seen, like a lot of like choreography uses a lot of modern and contemporary techniques, but they don't credit it. So I feel like it'd be cool to be like, oh, this is my choreography. Oh, I got this from contemporary, modern, and I got this from popping, and I got this from hip hop, and like be able to articulate that. I mean, right. Nuts. If Portland could do that on every level, that'd be crazy.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
But yeah, I definitely would do. For sure, like, contemporary, modern, but they're separate. I know they are. I would do tap because I'm learning how to produce music, and I want to understand rhythms, and I'm I just started learning more about like time signatures and like polyrhythms, and I'm like, oh yeah, I never use these things in my dance. Yeah. So it's just, it's awesome to understand other people, mm-hmm. because in that way we're more accepting, I'm more accepting as a whole. And I understand that if someone wants to speak in a way that may seem aggressive, I understand that, and I'm just saying this on a personal level, I understand that that might just be that person and they're not trying to hurt anybody. They're just, that's maybe how they start to get when they feel under pressure.
Yeah.
And then, yeah.
I think it's interesting. It just occurred to me that, you know, dance is a language, movement is a language all in its own. And when referring back to when you were talking about, you know, how you speak versus a maybe more tight, pulled together suits mm-hmm. style of speaking, I think different styles of dance have different ways of communicating and different, like, you know, the movement allows for different ways to express.
Yes. So, yeah. And I like agree with it 100%. I do. I would love to, like, even though you might see someone like who doesn't feel like, who doesn't look like they fit in the situation, be able to understand exactly what's happening,
mm-hmm.
and that would be like beautiful. Like if I can watch a ballet piece and fully understand everything that's happening, incredible. Like I do for the most part, but because I haven't been a practitioner long enough, I don't understand it
mm-hmm.
as much as I think I would like to. Yes. Yeah.
All right. Any final comments you want to make?
Honestly, I'm one of those people that can have a conversation for hours. I will say that. But I think one of the things I'd like to say being open-minded goes beyond like accepting your beliefs and accepting, and that's like truly accepting that person for what they're doing and really trying to understand them and not necessarily trying to change them, but willing to work in the middle of whatever you guys are doing. So for example, if me and a contemporary dancer are working on a project and I say, "Hey, Poppy, we never move like that, so we're not gonna do this," understanding that, being open-minded about like maybe Poppy doesn't move in that way, but how can we blend both of them to be able to move that way, right? So being open-minded about the way a contemporary dancer moves and approaches music differently,
mm-hmm.
And understanding the way I approach music, and then how can we find a middle ground for both of them? And I feel like understanding like that, when we're able to do that as artists, we'll be able to do that as humans. Because mm-hmm. to me, it's not necessarily about how dope of a dancer you are. You kind of touched on it earlier. It, like, just because you're dope dancer doesn't mean you're going to be a great teacher and a great mentor.
Mm-hmm. Or a great human.
Thank you. Which kind of leads into, what doesn't kind of, it leads right into it, where it's like, if we can all be better humans, like, in general, and just understand that, and just want to be just good for the sake of good and not good for the sake of return, that's going to change the city. Because then we're open to other people's ways and being there with them, rather than like shaming them for things that we may feel not be okay. Because then that's just gonna elevate us as a community. It's gonna be able to elevate us now to a place where we can like do that in the dance, mm-hmm. and do that as artists. Because if we can do it as like everyday average people, mm-hmm. we can do it in the art world.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if we can do that with every person that we see as humans, then it's gonna be super transparent in our art. And if we can just be good for the sake of good, that's just will change how we do things.
I'm gonna leave it at that.
Cool.
Thank you.